This morning, remain standing with me, grab your Bibles, turn to the book of Matthew chapter 7 this morning. It'll be the first book of the New Testament. We'll read in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11 responsively this morning. I'll read verse number 7 and you'll join me on verse number 8. We'll read like that all the way through verse number 11. Matthew chapter number 7, beginning in verse number 7, the Bible says this: Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. What man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will give him a serpent? Let's read that last verse together. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give you good things to them that ask him? And let's pray. Father, Lord, we love you and we thank you for all that you've done for us this week. Lord, there's been many blessings. Lord, there's been many heartaches, but thank you, Lord, even in the heartaches, we've seen your hand. Lord, we've felt your presence. Lord, we've seen your work in our lives and in the lives of those around us. This morning, we come here, Lord, everybody from a different walk of life, everybody with a different burden, Lord, a different need this morning. But Lord, thank you for being the same God and the same Holy Spirit that you've always been. Lord, thank you for the Word of God, Lord, the truths in its pages, Lord, that they never change. This morning, as we hear the Word of God being preached, we'll humbly ask, Lord, that as we listen, Lord, with our minds and as our hearts are tender to the truth, that Holy Spirit, you'll do your part, Lord, that you'll work in our life. Lord, we need you this morning. It would be a complete waste of time and energy to be here this morning without you here. We'll ask your presence now upon the service that you'd fill our pastor with your Holy Spirit's power as he preaches. Fill us with your power as we listen. We ask all these things in your name. Amen, and you may be seated.
Have you keep your Bibles open to Matthew chapter 7, but I want your attention today, and I mean this with all my heart. I want you to have a full spiritual life. I want you to have a full life in general, but to have a full life, you have to have a good spiritual life. And I think I can help you. Prayer does not have to be a mystery. May I say something? It doesn't have to be, I guess I'm going to use simple language here, but it doesn't have to be something spooky to talk to God. May I just be very open and candid with you for a moment? It was hard for me to wrap my head around as a child and a teenager sometimes talking to someone I could not see and could not hear their voice talk back to me. It just kind of seemed a little, you know, kooky. Okay, I'm talking. Are you hearing me? You know, and that kind of thing. I don't know that you've ever felt that way, but I did. But it's just sometimes we think of prayer almost in, and I'm going to use a word here, magical way. I couldn't actually understand getting an answer back and how. But as I grew, I got to a point I could ask, but then the answers weren't coming very frequently. How do we get regular answers to prayer? How do I not just get what I want, but how do I get what God wants for me to get? How do I know what the answer is? How do I even know that God's listening? Have you ever wondered those things about prayer? I'm sure many of you have. I want you to see that prayer, I'll be simple. Prayer is not pretending God is the genie in the bottle and you rub the bottle and the genie pops out and you tell him what you want and you get what you want. That's what a lot of people view prayer as, though. Well, God, I asked you, isn't that good enough? God's not a welfare God. God's not the genie in the bottle. God wants more from us than us just asking him for everything that we want and waiting for him to give us everything that we ask him for. May I say this in such a way? I don't think I'll spoil anything, but God's not Santa Claus. You don't make your list out, hand it to God and say, okay, this is what I want. And if I don't get it, I'm going to cry. But isn't that the way we act often as a Christian? I want to teach you a truth from God's word today that is so rich and so full that I can guarantee you will begin to see answers to prayer. May I say something? I'll quote a verse and I will use it later. You'll begin to see great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God's word is very practical. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 7 again, verse number 7. And it's not sinful to write in your Bibles, all right? You can mark in it, you can circle. My Bibles are my toolbox. If you saw some of my Bibles, there's so much writing in them, it's unbelievable. But I want you to notice verse number 7. God says, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Is that the end of the sentence? Oh, God says what? Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. But is that the end of the sentence? Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. I want you to notice something here. God gives us three statements, but we generally only do one of the three. We're good at the asking, but how are we at the seeking and the knocking? See, they're all three related to one another. God says, I want you to ask, I want you to seek, and I want you to knock. Now watch this. All three go together. They are not three separate things in our life. It would be, they are three ingredients to one thing. If you had biscuits, but all your wife did is put a bowl of flour in front of you, fellas, it ain't very good, is it? You can only shovel so much flour down that's dry, amen? And if you sneeze or cough, God bless you, amen? You got to put the buttermilk in and the butter in, and you got to get the baking soda or powder in there and a little bit of salt. And then you got to mix it all together, maybe some egg. I don't remember what all goes into it. And then you got to put the heat to it. And then when they come out, then it's dive in, amen? It's all of that makes biscuits. We say we want answered prayer, but you have to understand there's more to prayer than just asking. God says, I want you to ask, I want you to seek, and I want you to knock. All three of those are like the ingredients in those big old hot biscuits. Amen. As Brother Jackson said last week, with hot butter on. All right. So God says there are three statements that are related, but so often we only do one part of it. No wonder we don't get as many prayers answered as we think we should. Now, let me say it this way. God doesn't want to do all the work. Why is it that when we come up against it, we expect God to bail us out of everything? Let me show you what God has to say here. Let me illustrate it this way. If you needed $5,000 and you needed to go get a loan, you would go to the bank and you would ask them for a loan. But wait a minute. Then you're going to fill out 4,736 pages of information. You're going to fill out your name 3,000 times. Your Social Security 47 times. They're going to do background checks, and they're going to do credit checks, and they're going to do all these things, and then you're going to have your taxes for the last 3 years, and you're going to have this, and you're going to have paycheck stubs so that they know that you're going to have the ability to pay it back before they give you that money, correct? Now, wait a minute. All you did is go ask for money. But then there was seeking and knocking involved before you actually got what you were seeking. That's exactly what prayer is. Now watch this. Let me break it down for us, and I think I can help you. Number one, God does want us to ask for things that we need and want. God does want you asking for things you need and want. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 4. Psalm 4, it's right in the middle of your Bible, right after the book of Job, or for us rednecks, the book of Job. Psalm 4, look at verse number 3. I love the book of Psalms. Psalm 4, verse number 3 says, "But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear me when I," what? "Call unto him." Guess what? God will hear us. He didn't say he would hear you if you were good. He said, "I will hear him." God will hear when you call upon him. Turn to Psalm 145. Almost the last chapter of Psalms. It goes up to Psalm 150. But Psalm 145, look at verse number 18. Yes. Help if I'm in the right chapter. Psalm 145, I looked at Psalm 144 and went, uh-oh, there's only 15 verses. Psalm 145, verse 18. "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth." Notice something. He said he'll draw nigh, he'll listen, he'll be close to you when you call on him. Jeremiah 33:3, you don't need to turn there. I quoted it earlier. "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Notice God says, "Call unto me." Notice we were in Matthew 7. God said, "Ask, and it shall be given unto you." God never said you could not ask. You have to understand something. All of this passage that we read is related. If you look at the rest of this passage, it says, "For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and he that knocketh it shall be opened to him. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asked bread, would give him a stone?" If Brother Josh came to me and said, "Preacher, I need some bread," I'm not going to say go out in the parking lot and pick up some rocks and eat it. Aren't you glad? Amen? Yeah, he's getting his wallet out. It didn't say God always gave you what you wanted either. God said he'd give you your request, but send leanness to your soul. Amen? Now, wait a minute. I have the right to go to God. By the way, the next verse says, look at verse number 9. Or 10. "Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent?" If you ask somebody for a fish, don't feed them, or don't give them a rattlesnake. That could be fun in some cases. You say, what is that? If your child needs something, you don't do the ridiculous and you know, "Well, Dad, I need a new pair of shoes, okay? So we'll go buy a new car." All right, you say, "Preacher, that's ridiculous." Exactly, that's what God's saying. You don't want to do something that's totally ridiculous, totally opposite of what actually is needed. And if we would do that as parents to children, what makes us think God is any different? Everybody doing okay? Now watch this. There were times my children would come to me and say, "Dad, I need 10 bucks or I need 5 bucks for an activity." "Well, where are you going?" "Well, we're going to go do thus and so." "All right. Do you have any extra spending money?" "No, but this is how much the activity costs." And if it costs 5 bucks, I might shoot them 10 and say, "Here you go. Enjoy some goodies along the way." They asked for 5, but sometimes they got a little extra. Didn't happen very often. But every once in a while, you could do a little extra. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They asked for something, but every once in a while we were able to give back even more. That's what God wants to do for us. Now watch this. God wants us to ask him for what we need. God wants us to ask him for what we want. But he does not want us to ask and sit on our blessed assurance doing nothing, waiting until he does something. Had my children asked me for $5 for an activity, then they sat down in the middle of the floor and didn't do anything for the next 4 days till the activity, guess what? They're not getting the $5. just because they asked did not mean they got that for which they asked. Does that make sense to everybody? God says, ask. Can I tell you something? I believe we ought to ask God for things. I believe that, and I've heard preachers preach this, and I'm not criticizing a pastor if they have said this. I'll pray for everybody else, but I'm not praying for myself. You're an idiot. God says you have not because you ask not. I think you ought to pray for yourself. Now, I think we ought to spend as much time or more time praying for others than we do ourselves. But did you know you have the right to ask God for what you need in your life? It's not sinful for you to pray for things for yourself. Well, it just sounds so selfish. There's every once in a while when you were a kid, you need to go to dad or mom and say, I need help. Well, he's our Heavenly Father. Every once in a while, you need to say, I need help. I do it all the time. Now, when you need help, it doesn't mean you go to God and say, okay, God, my car broke down, so I need you to give me a new Lamborghini. That's not what God's talking about. You might have to deal with one that may be lesser quality than you wanted, but God can provide for you. It may not be everything you asked for, but if it's in your price range, it's a good deal. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having too much fun right now. Say, preacher, how did we get this building? We asked God. I remember begging God. We were stuck in the upper room at the Aiken Center. A public bathroom, a one-seater on both sides of the hallway that we had no control of. It's a miracle of God this church survived all that. I remember saying, God, we need property. We couldn't find land anywhere under $100,000 an acre. It was unbelievable what we were going through. And Brother and Mrs. Barnes drove this way to get to where they were going. They saw this land. And she came, she said, preacher, it might be kind of stupid, but here's a, and we came and looked at it. God gave us this piece of land, 4 acres of property for $90,000. Say, what was that? We started asking God. I came out here, walked this property. We came out here. We got the land. We had a service sitting right down there in the bottom where those 10 spots are down there. And it was a jungle. I mean, it was a literal jungle out here. And y'all were going, we're going to build a church here? Yep. Where are you going to put it? Right where you're sitting. God gave me the vision to see what could be. Y'all said, preacher, are you sure? I'm sure. Plenty of land to do what we need to do. Then we didn't have nothing in the bank. God gave us some money. We hired some engineers. Oh, that's a word I hate. I need to ask forgiveness. Lord, help me. We started down getting engineers and plans drawn and going to the county for meetings. And Lord, forgive me for that one. And all the other things that we went through. And we used up our money. And I would say, God, we got to have some more to keep this thing rolling. And God would provide, and we just kept going step by step by step. It seemed like every time we were about ready to stop, God said, you've been asking, here you go. Never forget the day that I had been to the governor's office talking to him. I'd been the head of the DEP. I'd been to every place in the county. We had closed our loan. We had everything done, and they gave us an extra $120,000 in stormwater management we had to add. I had to go back to the bank, ask for more money, and we had to go through the whole process all over again. I was finished. It was Friday afternoon. I'd had it. It was about 10 after 4, quarter after 4. I looked to God and I said, God, that's it. I'm done. Your house, your land, you get the money. I'm tired of it. So you shouldn't have talked to God that way. Well, I was frustrated. I had had all I could take. I said, that's it. I'm done. I said, I'm going on a date with my wife. You worry about it. I'm done. I've done everything I know to do. Took my wife out, grumbled a little bit. We had prayer breakfast the next morning. We had about 15 men or so there that day. A man after prayer breakfast said, "Preacher, can I see you?" And we went up into the wonderful, luxurious office suite that I had there that was about as big as this pulpit square. Literally. I sat down and he said, "Preacher, my wife and I were doing something last evening and the Lord had provided, and I have a check here that God put on my mind." He said, "I heard the need this morning, but this check was written." He said, "What time were you praying to God last night?" I said, "About 4:15. He said, "I wrote this check at 4:15, between 4:15 and 4:20. It was a check for $25,000. I said, "Can you sit there for a second?" He said, "I can." I said, "Hang on." I went out of the office, crossed the auditorium. I went around the corner, down the hall by the bathrooms, opened up the back door, held it as it went shut, keep my fingers in, and said, "Well, glory!" Had a spell. Walked back in, tears running down my face, saying, "God, you did it." Called bank Monday morning, said, "I need $25,000 less." They said, how do you need?" I said, "Because God provided $25,000 of it. Don't worry about it. Check's in the account today." I could tell you story after story after story after story after story like that. But may I say something? We didn't just ask. It takes more than just asking. But may I say something? He's not going to give it to you if you don't ask. Dad and I were talking about something recently, and I said, "Dad, I think you ought to try." I said, a no is better than a yes unasked. I said, I wonder how many times we don't ask for something. God has it ready for us, but because we didn't ask, he doesn't give it to us. Everybody doing all right? All right, now hang on. We're going somewhere with this. Number one, we're supposed to ask. But number two, God said he also wants us to seek. Look at Matthew 7:7 again. "Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find." Did you know that God wants you to seek for a way to resolve that on your own? For what you've asked for? God says, "I want you to ask me, but I want you to do all you can until you can't do anymore." You start looking for the answer. Can I tell you something? God's not the Easter bunny dropping eggs. I never could figure out how a rabbit laid eggs. But God wants us to do everything we can. Now, listen to me very carefully here. You don't give a child something just because they ask. At least you shouldn't. You know, the little ones that are sitting in the cart by the candy at the checkout counter. "I want this, I want..." You might want it, but that doesn't mean you're going to get it. Did you ever notice they put it within reach of a child's arm? Yeah. You say, why? To show what kind of parenting skills you have. I watched my wife more than once before she got to the checkout line. "Don't you even dare ask for anything. Everything you need is already in the cart. We're not adding anything." "Got it, you ask. We're taking stuff out of the cart, including you." Wait a minute. You say, y'all been there before, haven't you? Uh-huh. Thank God mine are all grown. You know, God wants us to ask, but he wants us looking for answers in the process. Why is it that when we ask God, we sit down and say, "Okay, did my part, rest of it's on you"? God said ask, but then start seeking for a way to fulfill that. There were times when we needed money here at the church for building or for whatever. And I would seek God. And I would say, "Okay, God, okay, recently we need some extra for the church to kind of give us a little bit of reserve." And I said, "God, I've got a little bit of money sitting in one account. I'll give $1,000 of it. It's almost all of it, but I'll give it. And you can take it." Do you know that in less than 12 hours, God gave me two checks that equaled $1,000? hold my mule while I shout. Amen. Amen. He resupplied what I was going to give before I even wrote the check for it. Matter of fact, I didn't write a check for it. I just signed the back of both of the checks God gave me and said, going back to your house anyway. No sense in filtering it through my account. Can I tell you something? God wants us to keep doing what we can do and then watch what he can do in the process. Now watch this. You say, well, what about all the miracles in the Bible? Please listen to me. I hope you get in your Bible and start reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Tell you why. Start looking at all the miracles that took place. Remember the lady that had the issue of blood? And she said, if I could but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Have you ever read the rest of that story? The Bible said she had that issue of blood for 20 years. She had seen every doctor. She had used up all her money. She had sought for an answer to the problem. And she said, all I got to do is get close enough to touch his garment. And when she touched Jesus, he said, I feel virtue is going out. But I want you to notice something. She had been seeking the answer. God isn't going to just perform a miracle because you need a miracle. I've said this before. Getting a miracle is wonderful. Needing one really stinks. If you're in a spot where you need a miracle, you're not in a good spot. When you get one, glory to God. But can I tell you something? Like I preached a few weeks ago, the man that was by the pool of Bethesda, who had been lame for his whole life, Jesus said, well, how come you don't get in when the Spirit moves the water? He said, about the time I go to get in, somebody steps in ahead of me. And notice, God healed him, but he had been seeking the answer to it. But watch this. The rest of the crowd went unhealed. The multitude goes away without the miracle, just so you know. The miracle is the exception. It's not the standard. And just because you don't get one, don't feel that God hates you and God's judging you. Say, well, preacher, I really had this need. I understand. But maybe it wasn't as much of a need as you thought it was. Now watch this. God doesn't want us to magically get all he does for us. He wants us to obey and get all we can for ourselves. Sometimes, okay, everybody look at me. I'm going to be politically incorrect, but I will be biblically correct. God doesn't want to always give you everything. He wants you to work for it. He'll give you the strength and the jobs to get it done. Answer to America's problems isn't more money, it's more work. Amen. We need to get people off the free money that we're all paying for, get them working and producing, and that will bring that debt and that tax bracket and all those things back down. We need more people working, not more handouts. Amen. Everybody doing okay? Yes, you want to teach your children? Yes, teach them to work. Amen. Instead of giving them anything, make them earn it. My children got to do pretty much what they wanted to do as far as activities and things. Can I tell you why? They had to earn it. They mowed grass. They chopped wood. They helped cut wood. They helped haul things. They helped do things around the house. And I would say, okay. And they said, well, Dad, how can I? Well, I got a job needs done. My daughter would help with the laundry and help with, oh man, my kids all did laundry. My kids, by the time they were in high school, did all their own laundry. Say why? Because there was a day when they were going to move out and they had to do it on their own. And then you get married and let your wife do it and you don't have to do it again. Amen. But if it needs done, I know how to do it. Amen. And you can ask her. I do help from time to time. I'm great at getting it in the washer and the dryer. I'm horrible at putting it away. Now, wait a minute. God doesn't want to just magically rain money upon you. God doesn't just want to, he wants you looking for ways to where you can earn it. He'll guide you. I watch our Minutemen's prayer breakfast. Brother Barnes often will say, preacher, pray for more work. He's not praying for more money. He's praying for more work so that he can get what he needs and what he wants. Amen. That's a very good way to pray, by the way.
That's right.
Instead of God, just give me X amount. Now, there's times as a church I've had to pray that for God. Remember the day we needed $10,000. Oh, I needed $10,000 in the worst way for this building. There was something coming up and we were going to be in a stoppage unless I could find $10,000. And I didn't have 10 cents to rub together, honestly. And I had been praying and working and looking. Brother Larry, I got an email at about 5:30 in the morning. It was from a man named Stuart McMillan. Well, Stuart McMillan was my boss when I was in Bible college at a machine shop. I thought, man, I haven't heard from Stuart in years. I opened it up and it said, Craig, I hear that you're pastoring a church and you're in a building program. He said, I'm up early. He said, if you're up, call me. So I called him. He said, tell me what you need. Oh, wouldn't you like to look a billionaire in the face and have him say, tell me what you need? I was talking to him on the phone. His company produces fire hose nozzles on 5 different continents. It is a worldwide corporation. Task Force Tips Innovations. I said, Stuart, I don't tell anybody what my needs are. I tell God. He ended up transferring about $65,000 to us. A little while later, I was needing $5,000 or $10,000. It was about a year later. I said, God, sure could use $5,000 or $10,000 right now. We got this extra thing. There was a little overage here, and I got to figure out how to get this. I got an email one morning from Stuart. Brother John, this is what it said. Catherine and I, it was in February. It says, Catherine and I have a few crumbs left in the Christmas cookie jar. He said, if you could get me your banking information, he said, I'll wire the money to your church account. Hot diggity dog. I said, as soon as my secretary gets here, it'll be the first thing she does. Because I don't have those things. He said, I understand. He said, you're being wise. As soon as Mrs. Barnes got to the office, I said, do me a favor, quick, open the computer and get this information to this account now. I got an email about an hour later. He said, it's going to be a couple days till it actually transfers, but I'll let you know. He said, did he tell you how much? No, and I didn't want to ask him. You say, why? Because I felt really awkward just asking. I said, Lord, I really need $5,000 or $10,000. That was on a Monday or a Tuesday morning. It must have been a Monday morning. On Thursday, real early, it said, it's in the bank. Go to the bank and check. Don't you worry. It's only across the street. I'm going. I got my little truck, drove down the road, pulled into the parking lot, walked into the bank, little lady sitting right there. And I said, she said, good morning, Pastor. I said, good morning. I said, could you check my church account? There's supposed to have been some money wired in. I told her who it was from. She said, okay. And she's, she said, yep. I said, it's from this person in Valparaiso, Indiana. She said, it's sitting right here. She said, it's $100,000. I said, could you punch those numbers again? And I was holding on to the back of the chair and I kind of went like this. And she's, Pastor, it's $100,000. She said, are you okay? I said, have you ever been given $100,000? She said, no. I said, that's how I'm feeling. I finally got some strength up and stood up and walked out, hit my truck and began to sob. Then I started shouting. I said, Lord, if that's the crumbs, I'd like to see the whole cookie jar. Now, wait a minute. We had done all we could do. We sought for things that we could do And God said, you've called, you've sought, now watch what I can do. But it didn't come just because I sat in my office drinking coffee saying, God, I need money, God, I need money, God, I need money, God, I need money. No, God, I need money, this is what I need, but I'm going to leave in a little while and go out and we're going to knock on doors and we're going to carry people's burdens and we're going to tell folks about Jesus. We're going to have church and we're going to help carry people's burdens and we're going to bury their dead. We're going to marry their young. We're going to help them while they're in the hospital, pre-COVID. We're going to do all those things that we can do and hopefully you'll kick in where I cannot do. Can I tell you something? You do what you can, God will do the rest.
Amen.
But you have to do all you can do. God says, don't just ask. He said, ask and then seek. Now watch this. Listen to this. Turn to Matthew chapter 11, just a few pages over. Matthew chapter 11. Look at verse number 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Here's what the average Christian says. Well, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. God says, bring your burden to me. Then I'll put a yoke on you. Come on up here, the other ox. And he will yoke together with us. And he said, we'll work together and we'll plow through this together. He didn't say, come bring it to me, you can have a seat there, and leave it there and make me do all the work. He said, come unto me and join in the yoke with me and I'll pull with you, but you're going to pull also.
Sorry.
Everybody doing okay? Well, I'm tired, preacher. Yes, God said, come unto me and I'll give you rest. I'll help you pull in the yoke and it'll make your burden easier and lighter because I'm pulling with you, but you're going to pull your own weight.
Amen.
God does not want us dumping our list on him and sitting on the couch watching TV, eating food, waiting for him to answer. God wants us to do our part before he does what we cannot do. In other words, we ought to be seeking advice. We ought to be searching the scriptures. We ought to be seeking wisdom, the Bible says. God says, search the scriptures. That means seek. God says, seek wisdom. He says, seek good counsel. I guess if we would start seeking the way God says we should seek, maybe in the process we could find more answers to what we've been asking him for. Boy, that's good stuff. But we must do our part before God kicks in. Number three, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Isn't it amazing when you start knocking how many opportunities come your way? You remember the old statement, opportunities come a knocking. No, you went knocking for the opportunity. God says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. Sometimes God's not going to just give it to you. You're going to have to be doing something. Watch this. And in the process of doing, God opens a door for you to get what you need. It would not come sitting on the couch watching TV. Not going to come sitting in the office drinking coffee. It's going to come because you've asked, you've sought, and you've been knocking, trying to get this to happen. Boy, that's good stuff. You don't pray for a job and wait for one to come. Oh, God, I need a job. No. Get up, go put some resumes out. Then follow up on the resumes. And if you can't find a job in today's world, you don't want to work. I don't think I'd go anywhere without jobs, you know, now hiring. People needed. Can I tell you something? You got to follow up. You got to seek those jobs. You got to pound the pavement. You got to let your fingers do the walking on the computer these days. I'm from the old days where you went and actually filled out an application at a job. Been a long time since that's happened, amen? In other words, you need to keep on obeying and doing all you can. Isn't it amazing? You'll say this to somebody, boy, Brother Bush, he's just so lucky. Look what God does. Yeah, I'm so lucky. I've been here since 5 o'clock this morning. The difference is work.
Yes, sir.
I'm not lucky, I'm worky. That's not a word, but isn't it amazing? The harder somebody works, the more successful they become.
Amen.
Boy, that's a good statement. We got God to answer needs and to build us by obeying all we could. Then he'll provide the next opportunity. Did you know that success is preparation, meeting, opportunity? So if I have asked, I have sought, I've done all I can, God then will bring an opportunity. And God says, here you go, you have success. Is all I needed you to do was start seeking so I could provide the answer to what you wanted and an opportunity by you doing what you're supposed to do. Boy, that's good stuff. I remember being in Bible college. Some. I was too tired to remember all of it. I was working 40 hours a week. It was an hour drive to my job. I was taking 21 hours of class. I was preaching to two Bible clubs. I had a bus route. I was averaging about 3.5 hours of sleep every day. I was too busy to care about life. I just had to survive the next stage. I remember getting ready to go get a lunch to leave to go to work at the college there. And as I was walking down the hall, I wasn't paying much attention. I was looking at what was over here on this side of the hall. And there was doors on this side of the hallway. And all of a sudden, the world stopped and started banging and crashing. And I had realized I had run into somebody that had their hands full of mops and brooms and buckets. Oh, Lord, it was a tiny little blonde-haired girl. Oh, Lord, I ran this woman right off the end of the door, and things went flying everywhere. I apologized. I helped pick things up. I handed it to her. We kind of joked about it, and I went on. Well, the next day, I had to go get another lunch for work. I went down that hallway, but I remembered where that door was. And when I got to that door, there she stood. And I said, I'm not going to hit you today. We laughed about it. We joked about it for a moment. We talked. I asked her where she was from. Found out my mom and dad were going. That my mom and dad had moved from one part of Ohio to another. And my mom and dad were actually going to her home church. I thought, wow, that's pretty neat. So the next day, I had to get another lunch. I went down that hallway. And guess who was in the same doorway at the same time? And the Lord said, hey, stupid. I've been knocking twice, three strikes, you're out. Really? When am I going to date? We talked for a little bit. I finally mustered up enough courage to say, would you go out on a date with me? Yes. Great. When? I don't know. We set a date. Never a time, just a date. I had seen her a couple more times in between then, and we kind of joked about it. And honestly, it's a miracle, but I've been married to her for 32 and a half years. Say, what was it? I wasn't looking for the opportunity. I was just working on seeking and knocking. God took care of the opportunity. Thank God for that. You know, when we go to God and ask him, and we seek for the answer, he says, sometimes I'll show you the answer because you keep knocking and keep opening doors. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. Watch this. And show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He didn't say, I'll show you great and mighty things that are above what you've been asking and seeking and knocking for. But he says, sometimes I'll open that door. There'll be an email that says, I got some crumbs in the Christmas cookie jar. Could it be because a young man, while he was in Bible college, worked his tail off for his boss? God did some extra things 30 years later? Yeah. I didn't see it 30 plus years ago, but we sure have seen it in recent days. Amen. Wait a minute. He opens doors to great and mighty things for us, but only if we're asking and seeking and knocking. Let me finish. David killed Goliath. He was obeying God. His dad asked him to go do something. He then asked the king, why is that big galoot got his mouth running against our God? Somebody needs to go do something. They said, well, we've been searching for somebody to fight him, but we haven't found any. He said, look, I've torn a lion in half with my bare hands. I killed a bear, grabbed it by the beard and ripped its head off. He said, if I can do that, I can go in the power of God. Let me go fight that dude and shut his mouth up. David had a miracle take place, but he had been seeking and knocking. When the opportunity came, he knocked out the giant and then took his sword and cut his head off. Naaman sought the man of God to be healed of leprosy. He went, he heard what the man of God said and said, I don't want to dip in the dirty Jordan River. I could go back to my homeland and go into some clean rivers if that's what he wanted to do. And his servants said, just do what he said. You've traveled all this way. Why would it hurt? Seven times, up and down. Doot, 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 doot. Came up seventh time clean and had skin as smooth as a baby. Shazam! It took seeking and knocking before it took place. So many things. Let me stop. I've got to quit. But listen to me. I'm about to shout and cry at the same time. Man sinned. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. When man sinned, Jesus said to God the Father, would you let me go in their place? Would you let me be born of a virgin and live a sinless life? I'll live their righteousness for them. They'll crucify me. I'll shed my blood. I'll be your sacrificial lamb. They'll bury me. I'll resurrect. And I will put the blood on the mercy seat for man's atonement. He said, would you let me do that, Father? He said, I'll let you do that. But my Bible says, in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. He not only asked the Father, he began to seek for a way to do it. And in Revelation chapter 3, verse number 20, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Can I tell you something? Our salvation came because the Son asked the Father. And the Father granted, and Jesus came to seek to do all that he said he would do. And not only that, he's knocking on somebody's heart's door today. Do you know for sure that you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? If not, you could do it today. Everything's been done for you. You don't have to be seeking anymore. It's there. He paid the price for you. You don't get it by being baptized or by joining a church or by your good works. You get it because you trust what Jesus Christ did. And may I say something? The moment you do that, gone, gone, gone. Yes, your sins are gone. They're as pure as the white-driven snow. They are removed as far as the east from the west, and your eternity is sealed. The eternal genetics of God by regeneration, regening takes place, and the Spirit is born in you. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Uh-oh. Jesus said, when you get saved, your spirit is reborn and you get the eternal genetics of God and you could never lose your salvation. Say, how is that? Because he came to seek and he's knocking. The opportunity is there. What will you do with it? Let me ask you, Christian, are you just acting like God's the genie in the bottle and you get mad at him when he doesn't give you what you want? You want real answers to prayer? Ask, seek, and knock. And I promise you, you'll start seeing God answering your prayers. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Please, no moving around, no noise. Just you and God and I. I wonder who would say, "Preacher, if I died today, I am 100% sure. I know for sure that I would go to heaven." Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. There were some hands that couldn't go up, and thank you for your honesty. Who would say, "Preacher, if I died today, I don't know that. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not call you out. I promise you I will be ethical and I will be appropriate with you." But you'd say, "Preacher, I don't know for sure, but I'd like to know that for sure." Would you raise your hand? All right, there's one. Is there another? All right, thank you. You may put those hands down. Who'd say, "Preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today." Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, scores and scores of hands. Thank you. You can put your hands down. If you raised your hand, if you're a lady, I'll have a lady take the Bible. I promise you, in 2 to 3 minutes, you could leave this building knowing for sure you're on your way to heaven. If you're a man, I'll have a man take the Bible and show you how you could know for sure. Maybe you just need to come and kneel at an altar and ask God for what you need in your life and tell him you're going to start seeking and knocking till you get the answer. If you've been saved and never baptized by immersion, we can care for that today. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion, like to join our church, we'd love to have you come. Whatever the need, but most of all, if you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, nobody's going to laugh. The lights aren't going to flash. We're not going to have an earthquake. It's nothing like that. It's just somebody taking the Bible and showing you how you can know for sure and you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior.